Good evening. It's good to see everyone here. We're going to start with Heaven Came Down. Let us sing. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Number 480. Or the next song, if you're holding a sheet. We'll sing the first and third verses of this. Then we'll have our opening prayer. Let us sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day and this opportunity to assemble ourselves again tonight and worship Thee and sing praises to Thee and study Thy Word. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that we have and for our health. We want to remember at this time, Heavenly Father, those that health prevents them from being here or they're recovering. recovering from surgeries or they're battling diseases or ailments, that you pray that you'd be with them, Heavenly Father. And if it be your will, give them the health that they desire. If not, give them comfort. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that are struggling with things in their life that are difficult at this time for them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this nice weather we have, that we're able to assemble outside and appreciate the blessings and beauty that you have given us and still worship thee. Be with us, Heavenly Father, through the remainder of the service. We pray, Heavenly Father, all the things that are said and done are in accordance with thy will. As to Christ, let me pray. Amen.
When we all get to heaven will be the song before the scripture reading and the lesson this evening. Let us sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we we'll sing and shout the victory.
Before our scripture reading, there is Bible story time tonight for any kids who are interested. If you'll just go up this pathway in the main doors in the foyer, it'll be in the same room that it usually is. Our scripture reading for this afternoon is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?
Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? All right, good to hear it. It is a beautiful evening, and we're so thankful to, again, be able to come out. I know there's a few that have said it's not ideal for them, and I'm sorry. I wish we could do something that pleased everybody, or not pleased necessarily, but accommodated everybody. But it's just so nice to be outside and to enjoy the beauties that God has created. I like to take advantage of it. And I like preaching without a tie. That's another reason I like to do this. So didn't know I could do it until we started doing this. But we're glad you're with us tonight. Have a pretty good turnout. And I've already met one person I had not met before. And I urge all of you to look around. And if you see somebody you don't recognize, go to them and say, good to see you. And it may be somebody that's been here longer than you have been, but it's about time you met anyway, so do it. But we are thankful that you are here. All of you that are with us online, we're glad that you're joining us as well, and hope you're enjoying the day too. But got your Bible, I hope, whether it's a printed copy or an electronic, let's go ahead and get into the Word and learn some things that God has given us there. It's hard to imagine how life used to be before smartphones. And it's not been that long, you know? I mean, really, it's not been that long since smartphones came out. And yet now, so much of our lives revolves around what we can do with those smartphones. In fact, this definition on Wikipedia for a smartphone, I think, is useful. A portable computer device. That's really what it is, a portable computer device that combines mobile telephone functions and computing functions into one unit. And there are just so many things we can do on our smartphones. And we can, you know, we can even talk to people on them. Can you imagine that? They've come out with that technology too. But as amazing as smartphones are, prayer is even more amazing. With prayer, we can go beyond the ability of the smartphone. We can even reach into heaven by communicating through prayer. It really is a gift that God has given us. But just like smartphones, you have to know how to use it, and you have to be in range, we might say. And so we want to conclude our series. We've done two lessons already on Prayer 101, and I decided to add one more to it. And tonight we're going to be asking the questions, how and where. Or we could reword that perhaps as posture and place. When I use prayer, what is the posture I should use? Or where should I go in order to use prayer? And does the Bible give me guidance on that? So let's get into this lesson and see what God has given us in His Word. Because we really do want to use prayer for all of its benefits. I think in my case, and I'll only speak for myself, I don't utilize it enough. And the older I get, the more I realize this is a blessing. And so let's talk about the things that God has revealed to us about prayer. Now, first of all, let's talk about the postures and places of prayer as they are described in the Bible. The postures and places of prayer as they are described in the Bible. Now, did you know the first time that pray is found in the Bible? It kind of surprised me when I looked. But Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7, I mean, you go that far into the Bible, and then you have the account where Abimelech takes Abraham's wife Sarah, even though she's a woman that's well up in years, yet she was a very beautiful woman, we're told. And Abraham was afraid this was going to happen. He said, tell him that you're my sister instead of my wife, or else he'll kill me for you. And so he took Sarah, and God spoke to Abimelech during the night and said, you are a dead man if you don't put things right. Give this man his wife back. And then he said there that Abraham will pray for you that you might live. And that's the first time the word prayer is found, or the word pray is found, in the Bible. But I really doubt that's the first time somebody actually prayed. I think it's probably gone on ever since mankind was chased out of the Garden of Eden. In Eden, Adam and Eve had that ability to speak directly to God, and I don't know that we would call that prayer. But after they were driven out of the garden, then I know that people have tried to call upon God, and prayer was the method that they had, however they may have practiced it. But what I want to do for a few minutes is just do a sampling, a very quick sampling of some of the postures and places of prayer that we read about in the Bible. Because that's what we want to know. Is there a prescribed posture for prayer? Is there a prescribed place for prayer? And so let's look at that for a few minutes. We'll begin in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 6. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 6. Here you have Israel again murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They've been wandering in the wilderness for quite a long time. You can imagine how their nerves must be shot by now, and they've lived together a long time, and so it's easy to get aggravated with each other. But now they're complaining because there's no water. This has already happened once early in the journey, and now here we are again. And Moses and Aaron do what we might think about doing, and that is, let's go to God, because we just don't know. So Numbers chapter 20 and verse 6 says, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. So there you have an example of men praying, and obviously it was a very effective prayer because God appeared to them after they did what they did. Where did they go? They went to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And that's another word for, another phrase for the tabernacle. It is where God met with man and revealed things to them. And so here they are at the very holy place, and they fall on their faces. And that's not unusual in the Bible. In the Bible, it's very common to see that. In fact, Jesus himself, we're told, in the Garden of Gethsemane, fell on his face and just poured out his soul to God. And so there's an example. Is that what we're supposed to do? To fall down, prostrate before God? Did I use the right word there? I'm always scared when I use the word prostrate. I think I got it right that time, didn't I? Okay, I've got a medical opinion over here. All right. Well, now let's go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, and we're going to look at verse 13. David is the author of this psalm, we're told. And he's talking about how his enemies wish him ill. He's got enemies that really wouldn't be bothered if he were just to pass on. And yet, look at what he says about his attitude about them. He said, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. And so there's another example of someone praying. And you know, David was a man after God's heart, and his prayers generally were very effective. And how did he do it? Well, first of all, he says, I put on sackcloth, the outward trappings of penitence and humility. And then he said, I afflicted myself with fasting. And that, again, is something you'll find sometimes in the Bible, where they fast, and then they go to God in prayer to show, we really mean this, Lord. We really want your help more than we want the help of food. And then he said, I bow my head, bow with my head to my chest. And that's pretty common, isn't it? I mean, we all do that at times. When somebody is leading a prayer here at our worship assemblies, that's the most common response. We bow our head down to our chest, and that's how we go about it. But again, is that what God wants us to do? Is that the prescribed method? Doesn't say anything about the place, but is that something for us to keep in mind? 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42. Now you talk about a powerful prayer. Elijah knew how to do it. James even talks about that, and yet he says he was a man with the same kind of nature as we are, so Elijah doesn't really have a whole lot on us, but he began that famine, that 3.5-year drought, with a prayer, and now the time has come to end that drought. And look at what we find now in 1 Kings 18 and verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Have you ever considered that as a posture for prayer? If I considered it, I'm not sure I could do it. But that's what it says. He bowed himself down on the earth with his head between his knees, and it was on the top of Mount Carmel. Well, of course, the effect of that was rain came. not very long after he prayed that prayer. And so again, you see, there's something we find about the posture and the place of prayer is that for us. Well, let's again keep looking. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 2. And here we have Hezekiah, a man that generally did what was right in the sight of God, one of those good kings of Judah, not all that common, but way more common than the ones in Israel. But Hezekiah was sick on this occasion, we're told, and Isaiah the prophet had been sent by God to tell him the news. Get your house in order. You're going to die. And so Hezekiah does what we might do, and look at what it says there in Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20 and verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And it doesn't say that he was lying on his bed, but that's the impression I've always gotten from this passage. He was, after all, sick. It was a sickness that would go into death. And so here is a man praying to God while he's lying on his bed. Again, I'm making a little bit of a leap there, but not a big one, I don't think. And that's something that I do occasionally. I find that I'm more prone to drifting off if I'm lying down when I pray. But that is something that we find, and God heard that prayer. It goes on to say that God sent Isaiah back and said, I've heard your prayer. I'm giving you 15 more years of life. And so again, a very good prayer, even if it was made on his bed. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, now we have the dedication of the new temple. Solomon is now king, Solomon the son of David, and this temple is amazing. It's just glorious in every way. And Solomon has an amazing sacrifice. I mean, the number of bulls and other animals that were offered was just incredible. Solomon wants to honor God. And now we come to the prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, we're told that Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the court, and he stood on it. Then he knelt on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And that's something that we don't do often. We don't see it very often here. Well, other people do it a lot. But here's Solomon doing it, raising his hands up to heaven as he prays to God. And again, it was received well. God responds to it well. And it is done in a very public place in front of all the assembly that are gathered there for that great occasion. Then Nehemiah, this is a very interesting example. It's one that I get a lot of comfort from. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Here you've got Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. And Nehemiah's heard some bad news in chapter 1. The walls of Jerusalem are still in ruins, which means the enemy can come and go as they please. There's no protection. And so he's worried about that. He's really grieving. And the king, the next day, sees something's bothering Nehemiah. And he asks him, what's bothering you? And listen to this in verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 2. The king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, it doesn't say anything about posture, does it? Because I don't believe there was any visible difference in the way he looked before the king asked that question and after he asked the question. What I see here is an instance of silent prayer, and we could also add momentary prayer. We've all done it. Maybe we're in a situation driving, and somebody coming toward us and on the other side of the road is now veered into our lane, and we say a quick prayer, Lord, help them to wake up and get back in their lane. And they do, thankfully. And maybe that's what we're looking at here. I really believe it is. And again, it gives credence to the idea that I can pray, like right now. I could stop here for a moment and say, Lord, help me through the rest of this lesson. And you might not know it. You wouldn't hear me praying. You wouldn't see any difference in my posture, but it would be a prayer acceptable to God. So again, something to keep in mind as we're thinking about posture and places. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. This is a parable Jesus is telling about two men that go up to pray. One of them is a Pharisee, and boy, he makes a big to-do about his prayer. He's standing in a very public place. He is proclaiming his prayer where other people can hear it. And then there's this other fella. And Jesus tells us later, the Pharisee, he did not go up to his house justified. This man did. And let's read about his prayer. Luke 18 and verse 13. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not kneeling, doesn't have his head between his knees. He's not lying on his bed, he's standing, but he's also not lifting up his eyes to heaven. That, I think, is a mark of his humility, a recognition, I'm not worthy to be speaking to the one who is listening to my prayer. And he beats his chest the whole time, another mark of penitence. This man knows he is in need of God's forgiveness, and thus he prays for that. And then one other example, and this is a great one, and that is Jesus himself, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And this is one of those statements. There's three or four of them that talk about Jesus' manner of prayer, a routine thing we're led to believe. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, this says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. I've often found nature to be a marvelous place to commune with God. I really love going into the woods or by the creek or the waterfall or wherever it may be because I feel a special closeness. Now, does that mean I'm closer there than I am when I'm at home in my bedroom? I don't think it does. But I sense his presence more, perhaps. And here's Jesus getting away from the crowd, and that's the main idea in this context. He's wanting a place where he can be alone because he has something very important he needs to do, and that is choosing the 12 apostles the next day. And so he goes to a mountain. He spends all night in prayer. We don't know the posture. It doesn't say that there. But Jesus prays a very effective prayer. So having sampled these eight different passages, what could we say about the posture and the place of prayer? There's more passages that we could have added to this list. Many more, actually. But after looking at all of these, have we come close to saying, well, this is what God wants me to do when I pray. This is the posture I'm to use. This is the place I'm to go. So far, I don't think we've found that. What we have found is a great variety of postures and places. And in each case, the prayers were effective. Well, let's look at what Jesus says about prayer. Let's see what he says about how and where to pray, if anything. And Jesus has a lot to say about prayer, and I'm not nearly going to cover everything he says about it. But first of all, I think we've already noted this in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, his apostles are looking for him, and they find him, and what's he doing? He's praying. Luke 11, verse 1, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And why did they say that? Because they saw something very special about Jesus. They saw that this was very serious for Jesus, very important for Jesus. And so they said, teach us to pray. Do we have that attitude? Are we willing to go to Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you've got to say about prayer, I want to hear it. And we can do that easily through our Bibles now. But what do we find? Let me suggest two or three things. Well, first of all, again, going back to Luke 18, 13, we mentioned that tax collector that was standing there in a public place, and yet he was not looking up. He was beating his chest. It was a very simple prayer. And I think one thing that we could draw from that is that it doesn't really matter what posture you're using. It's the condition of your heart, the posture of your heart. I can be kneeling down. I can be flat on my face, and my heart still not be right. On the other hand, I can be standing up, looking around with my eyes wide open, and yet be in the right spirit, praying to God. Here's a man that was standing in a very public place. He went to his house justified, Jesus said. His prayer was heard. Let's go to John chapter 4 now. John chapter 4, verse 21. You recognize this, I'm sure, as the place where the Samaritan woman came to Jesus. She was there to get water. She didn't come actually to talk to Jesus, but when she arrived, Jesus struck up a conversation which amazed her, and they got to talking, and she became a little defensive, we think. That seems to be what prompted this comment about, you know, you all worship over there in Jerusalem. We worship over here on Mount Gerizim. And then Jesus said this in John 4, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." So is Jesus saying that if you want to pray, don't go to Mount Gerizim and don't go to Jerusalem? No, that's not the idea. His point was, it's not going to be location specific. And we know that because of what he goes on to say in verse 24. He says in John 4, verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So it's really got nothing to do with location. Really not got anything to do with posture. Again, it's all a matter of the heart. We worship in spirit and truth. In truth, meaning we worship according to whatever guidance he gives us. In spirit, meaning my spirit is reaching out to connect with his spirit. It's not a ritual. It's not a recitation of prayers. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6 for a little bit more about what Jesus says about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Now here's one statement about where to pray, although, again, it's not really specific as we might think. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So as Jesus saying, it is a sin to pray publicly at the street corners and in public places. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not. And if that were so, then we need to stop asking different men to lead a prayer at our worship assemblies. The key thought there is that they may be seen of others. What is our motivation when we pray? Is it so others will see us praying? They may not hear us, but we want to be in the posture so they say, "Oh, look at them, they're praying. What a good person that is." If that's my motivation, I've missed it. Jesus said, go to that secret place, that closet, as the King James has it, or to that room that is a very private area. And how do we know that? He says, there your Father will see it in secret. In other words, prayer is me and God. That's it, me and God. Now, I may be praying for the benefit of the others who are listening, but it's still between us and God. Doesn't matter what other people think of our prayers. This is what I want God to hear, and I'm communicating directly with him. And that's what Jesus is saying there. So don't go about it so you'll be seen by others. Go to your private place. And then going on in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So why even ask? If God already knows what I need, why do I need to even say it? Because you need to say it. You need to hear yourself asking God for the blessings you depend on. And so Jesus says, don't think that because you're using big phrases and fancy words that God is going to be really impressed. That doesn't impress God. An honest heart, an humble heart, that's what impresses God. And so based on this, Jesus is saying, it's not about location, it's not about posture, it's about the heart. And then one other passage I think we should look at is the one that was read to us earlier by Huston, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And this, I think, really gets to the heart of prayer for the Christian. This is the relationship that we have. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And I'm sure you've heard that those verbs, ask, seek, knock, can also be rendered keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because the answers to our prayers don't always come instantly. Just keep on, he says. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. There will be answers to our prayers. Maybe not exactly what we've asked. Maybe not when we want it. There will be answers, though. Or which one of you, he says in verse 9, if his son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? That's the heart of prayer. We are going to our Father, who receives us as his children. We're asking for things we think we need, and he knows how to give good things to those who ask, suggesting that if we don't ask, we might not receive. So prayer is very important. John Stott wrote this. He said, behind all true prayer is the conversation which God initiates. I like that. Behind all true prayer lies the conversation which God initiates. And then he looks at Psalm 27, verse 8. Thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. And that's what we're doing when we pray. We're seeking the face of God. And what gives us the audacity to do such a thing? God himself. God says, I want you to come to me. I want you to pray. I'm your Father. You're my child. Come to me. Let's talk. And that's such a great way to look at prayer. And so posture and place, I think we all understand there's no certain posture prescribed in the Bible. I think most of us have our postures that we have come to grow familiar with, and maybe trying a different one now and then would not hurt. It might help us realize something new about our prayer life. And the place of our prayer, maybe again, that may be something that we may want to experiment with, because the Bible doesn't say go here, go there, but we can pray wherever we are. But you see, the main thing is that we pray. I probably shared this poem with you before, The Prayer of Cyrus Brown, written by Sam Walter Foss back in the late 1800s. It's about four clergymen that are gathered, and they're talking about the proper place, the proper posture for prayer. So the first one speaks up. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. The second one speaks up. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. A third one speaks up. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. A fourth one speaks. It seems to me his hands should be astutely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Hunt. And then this fellow, Cyrus Brown, who is nearby, chimes in with his thoughts. Last year I fell in Hodgins' well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels sticking up, my head a-pinting down. And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever prayed, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. And I think we all understand that, don't we? It's not about posture. It's about the heart and about our recognition of the need for God's help. 1 Peter 3, verse 12 is a good way to close this lesson. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So if you're one that is trying to live righteously, that's comforting. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. When you pray to God, he's listening. He is. He's promised that, and God is faithful. So the real question now has to be, are you righteous? You could have the righteousness of Christ. Not talking about your righteousness, my righteousness. None of us has it. But by coming to Christ and obedience to him, we are given that righteousness of Christ. If we have heard the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God, and if we believe that, if we're ready now to turn away from our sins, repenting of those sins, and ready to confess him before others that he is the Son of God, ready tonight to be baptized, for the forgiveness of our sins, we can leave this place righteous. And if as a Christian we've already done those things and yet sin has pulled us back into its path, it's time to come out of that path by repenting of that sin, praying for forgiveness, and we'll again have the righteousness of Christ. Can we help you in any way? Don't delay. Come as we stand together and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, yonder I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
You may be seated. If there are those present this evening who were unable to take the Lord's Supper this morning, it'll be offered at this time. If you do not have the cup and the bread and the cup, Tim, just raise your hand and Tim will bring that to you, or you can meet him halfway. I'd written that we'll sing these two verses of this psalm, but let's sing the first verse of this song only, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Let us sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my
like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Please bow your heads, pray with me. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you bowed heads and humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this bread that represents your broken Son's body that was given freely on the cross of Calvary. Father, be with each of us as we take this bread. May we take it in a worthy manner. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Bow again for the cup. Father, as we continue in prayer, we ask you to bless this cup that represents your Son's body, blood, that was given freely for our sins, that we may one day join you in heaven. Father, bless this cup that represents his blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray again for the gift. Father, as we come to you again, we ask you to bless this gift that is given freely of our hearts, that it may be used to further promote your word in this world. Father, bless the giver, and may we always think of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing this final selection, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, and then we'll have our closing prayer. Let us sing. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet stay right here with us, filling us with his love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Let's lower that just a little bit. There are blessings
you cannot receive till you know him in the fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we in praise, without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we've all been gathered here tonight with our brothers and sisters, we take this time to thank you for the gift of prayer, that we have this this privilege of being able to come to you with the things that are on our hearts. And Lord, you know each and every person here. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know the things on each one of our hearts, and we give those things over to you, and we ask for your blessings on them. Lord, please bless every person, every member of our church, and of your church all over the world. Bless us that we might be able to be faithful to you and to carry your good news, this gospel of your Son Jesus, into this world. Lord, strengthen us to do this every day, and until we're all gathered again later on this week, we pray that you would be with each one of us. Forgive our sins, dear Lord, and thank you for the many good things that we have, because we know they're all from you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I was not given any announcements, and I don't see anyone trying to give one, so I think we are dismissed.